Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Tanis Daf Yud. We begin right on top of the Yom. Tanu Rabbanan, we learn the following in a brisa. Eretz Yisrael Nivrei's Tchila. You meant to know that when Hashem created the world, Eretz Yisrael, which is the epitome of creation, that's the Tachlis HaBriyah, that's where you attain perfection, that's where Hashem's Shekhinah resides. That was the goal, the Tachlis, and therefore created first. V'kala olam kulo nivra l'basayif, the rest of the world was created afterwards. Shenemar, this is the pasuk in Mishlei describing the Torah, the Chachma of Torah, which came before the world was created. Ad lo yasa aretz, before Hashem made the aretz, which is Eretz Yisrael, v'chutzos. So first came Eretz Yisrael, and then anything outside Eretz Yisrael. What else? In what other way does Eretz Yisrael differ from the rest of the world? Eretz Yisrael, mashka oisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmai. Hashem waters. He brings down rain to Eretz Yisrael. He does it personally. V'kala olam kula ede shliach. Whereas the rest of the world gets the rain from his shliach. Hashem gives it over to a malach, to a minister, so to speak, to administer the rain. It fits very well with the Ramban Chumash, Parshas Achri Mois, that every land in the world has a sar, a minister, a malach, who administers that land, whereas Eretz Yisrael is directly controlled by Hashem, a direct hashkacha, Eretz Asher Hashem, Einei Hashem Alekecha Bo, Mereish Hashanah, Ba'adach Hashanah, direct control, direct supervision. So it fits very well with our Gemara, that when it comes to watering, Eretz Yisrael gets directly from Hashem, but kolo ilam kuloi aydei shliach. Shenema harnoisin motar al pnei aretz. Hashem sends the motar onto the aretz, Eretz Yisrael, directly, v'shaleach mayim al pnei chutz, and he sends water to the other lands, sending through a shliach. What else is Eretz Yisrael different? Eretz Yisrael shoyis amei gishamim. Eretz Yisrael gets the main rain, v'kolo ilam kuloi mitamtzis. The rest of the world gets the leftovers. Shenem harnoisin matar apnei aretz. The ikir matar than Eretz Yisrael. V'shleich mayim apnei chutzos. The leftovers go to the other lands. Eretz Yisrael shoyis atchila. Eretz Yisrael gets its water first. V'kala ilm kulil basayif. And then everybody else. Shenem harnoisin matar apnei aretz. And then comes v'shleich mayim apnei chutzos. According to the Bach, we switch around the order. So it's first, we discuss the fact that Eretz Yisrael gets first, and then the rest of the world. And then the Gemara would say, Eretz Yisrael gets Megisham in the main rain, and everybody else, the leftovers. Because that follows. First you say Eretz Yisrael is first, and then everything is second. Then you say Eretz Yisrael will get the main, and everything else, which is the second, gets the leftovers. Okay, Mashal Adam, this is analogous to a person, Shemagavala Sagvina, who's forming cheese. What does he do? He takes the edible and leaves behind the whey, the inedibles, the psoilus of his gvina production. Likewise over here, says the Marsha. We find three parallels between this mashal to what we just discussed. The person who's doing the gvina deals directly with the gvina. Likewise, Hashem deals directly with Eretz Yisrael. First, he attends to the gvina, and then we have the residue on the side, which just falls away. Hashem directly waters Eretz Yisrael, but everything else gets a secondary treatment. And likewise, what's the main element in this process? The gvina. And the psoilus is just by the wayside. Eretz Yisrael gets the ikar megishamim, and the other lands just get the psoilus. Omar Mar, let's go back to yesterday's discussion. According to Rabbi Lezer, water originates from down here on earth, rises up, although we're speaking about salt water from the seas, but it undergoes a desalination process where it gets sweetened and perhaps only the vapor rises, the water, the salt content stays behind. In any case, by the time it makes it through the clouds and comes back down, it's fully drinkable and sweet. Amar Marmar Matkinin Be'oven, the water which goes through the system, clouds and rains back down, becomes sweetened along its way. Minelli, how do we know this from a pasuk? Om Rabitzo Bar Yos, or Rabbi Yechman. Ksiv Cheshchas Mayim Avishchakim. So the point of the question of the Gemara is, of course we see that rain is sweet. But Rabbi Elazar was disagreeing with Rabbi Yeshua Shita, who maintained that the fact that we see rain is not salty indicates that rain really originates from the upper spheres, from the Mayim Elyonim. Rabbi Elazar responded, no, it comes from down here, but it gets sweetened along the way. How do we know that? There's a sweetening process take place. Don't read to Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Yechon. We have a pasuk in Tehillim. We have two pasukim which are similar in their wording. One is in Tehillim, one is in Shmuel. In Tehillim we have Chesh Chas Maim of Ishchokim. And in Shmuel we have Uksiv Chesh Ras Maim of Ishchokim. Two similar words, and we connect them. Shkoil Chaf, we take the Chaf from Chesh Chas. We show that Resh, we attach it to the Resh of Chesh Ras. Vikarbe Chicharta. We turn it into a word which sounds like Chicharta, but the Mefarshim on the side learned that the Ches and the He are interchangeable, come from the same source, from the throat. So the Ches here is treated like a He. So instead of Cheshchas or Cheshras, we turned it into a word, a joint word, Chicharta, which means that the fact that it goes through the clouds, Hichsharta, it makes it Huchshar, enables it, it sweetens it. That process turns it from salty to sweet. Rabbi Shua Bani Kroy, my Dorish Bu, what does Rabbi Shua do with these psukim, Chashchas and Chashras? What's the point of the difference in spelling? Savalam, ki hadachi asa Rav Dimi Amar. So he uses it for the same purpose as Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. Amar, he said, Amri b'mar Rav. You know, in Eretz Yisrael they say, Nahur anani, when you have light clouds, Z'ir moy, it's an indication of low water content in those clouds. Chashoich anani, if we have dark clouds, Sagir moy, that's an indication of the heavy load, the high water content in those clouds. So we have Cheshchas mayim, when the Avei Shchokim, when the clouds are choshech, are dark, that's an indication of high water content, which eventually comes down as cheshras, which means that it's meshiritim, it shears, it lets go of its water, and rains in abundance. Keman aslo hadasanya, in accordance with which Tana, Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Shua, will the following brisa go? Mayim al yoinim b'mar marhem tluyim. The upper waters are suspended by the way of Hashem's word. And they just drip down, they bear fruit. The actual water stays up there, but it sort of sweats, Rashi says, and creates megishamim. The land is satiated by the product of your handiwork. So it's not the actual water that comes down, but the upper waters drip down by way of precipitation and sweat. Kiman could be sure, this is Rabbi Shua speaking, that the world gets its water supply by way of the drippings, the zeya, the sweating of the upper waters. Rabbi Elazar, what does Rabbi Elazar do with this pasuk? He learns that the rain is sourced in the lower waters down here. Hahubim asu yodav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu dechsev. The pasuk is simply saying that rain, which is really sourced in the groundwaters, that is prima secha, that is the fruit of Hashem's masim. Hashem created a world, and the peris of that world are the rains that we experience. So the rain itself is called prima secha. It's not just a derivative of some upper waters. The rain itself is prima secha, that's the fruit of your work. You meant to know that the entire world derives its water from the leftovers of the waters in Gan Eden. So Hashem waters Gan Eden first, so to speak, and remnants get dispersed throughout the world. Shenemar v'nor yotzmi Eden, pasuk describes the river coming out from Eden. So it first attends to the Eden, this beautiful park, or Eden's garden, sitting somewhere in this world, the Rambam says. Rambam Pirsha Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, there's somewhere in the world. Just don't know where it is. It's hidden. And it's this most beautiful place with the most beautiful plants and trees. So the Nor first tends to that area, it waters it, and then it comes out, and from there all the other rivers are formed. So we see that the main watering takes place in Eden. Likewise, when it comes to rain, the main rain drops down on Eden and then trickles out to the other areas. Tana, we learned in a braisa. Another way to describe this is mitamtzis beis kur shoyse tarkav. So this fellow fills a huge container of water to water his beis kur, a large size field. A kur is 30 se'ah. And he has some tamtzis, some remnants on the bottom of that container. Shoyse tarkav, that's enough to water a small patch the size of tarkav, a three kav area. Trei ukav, two and one. So it's three, which is really a 60th of a kur. A kur is 30 sa'a. Each sa'a is six kav. So three kav is a 60th of a base kur. So it's just a way of saying that it's a small amount compared to the base kur, barely a 60th. And that's the way to describe the fact that the water is coming from Gan Eden, which is the main sa'a, so to speak. The leftovers trickle away and water the rest of the world, which is barely a 60th in compared to the one part in 60 as far as importance and significance to the Eden itself. Tanu Rabban, Eretz Mitzrayim havi dald meyos parso, al dald meyos parso. The land of Mitzrayim is 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Each parsa is 4 mil, around 4 miles. That's how large it is. Whether it's physically or perhaps the spiritual effect and influence of Mitzrayim, it's considered something which is prevalent throughout this type of large-sized area. Or perhaps it's just a mashal, a way of describing the large size, 400 by 400. In any case, large land, lots of influence, used to be the center of civilization. It's merely a 60th of Kush. Kush typically is translated as Ethiopia. Perhaps there it means Africa. But it means to say that Eretz Mitzrayim is just in comparison to Kush, has very little significance, barely a 60th. V'kush echad meshishim bo'ilam. Kush is a 60th of the world. Vo'ilam echad meshishim b'gan is 1/60th of the size of the Gan, or the importance of Gan. V'gan echad meshishim l'edim. Gan is merely a 60th of Eden. V'eden echad meshishim l'gehenim. Eden is merely a 60th of Gehenim. You know, the Rambam Pirsha Mishnah, in Bava Kamma, I believe, he says that when we speak about one of 60th, whether it's here, or Mar Bracha speaks about Shabbos, the 60th of Olam Haba, sleeping, the 60th of Misa, he says the number 60 is the smallest amount, smallest number, which still maintains significance. He says that's why we have Batal B'Shishim. When something is less than a 60th of the total amount, it has no more a personal, independent significance. So for some reason we deal with 60 to point out that's the threshold, number 60. Less than that no longer carries significance. That's why the Gemara always says it's a 60th of that, a 60th of that, which means it still has enough, it still maintains its identity, despite the fact that compared to the larger thing, it's just dwarfed. But it's still something, it's still a 60th. That's the smallest number you can cite to compare, but still, it still maintains and still has some sort of identity. Okay, v'eden echad mesamach l'gehenim. So Eden is merely a 60th of Gehenim. Nimtza kol olam kuloi kikisi keder l'gehenim. So now if you compare the whole world to Gehenim, it's just insignificant, like a kisi keder, like a lid of a pot to Gehenim. Gehenim is so much bigger than the world. V'yesh oimrim gehenayim ein lashir, v'yesh oimrim eden ein lashir. Explains the Masha, according to the first approach, Gehenim is the largest thing you can imagine. So, there's nothing greater than that can be used to measure Gehenim up to that. So Gehenim is the largest thing. You can't say Gehenim is a 60th of the next thing. There is no next thing. V'yesh oimrim, actually, eden ein lashir. You can't say Gan Eden is 1/60th the size of Gehenim, because Gehenim itself is so much larger than that. And therefore you can't say the Eden has a specified shear 1/60th of Gehenim, because Gehenim is so much bigger than 60 times of Eden. Amar Baishia, Maidichsev, how do you understand the pasuk which says, Sheichenes, Almaim Rabim, Rabbis Oitzoris, which is in reference to Bavel, Migaram LeBavel, Sheyu Bar. What brought about the fact that in Bavel you have the Oitzoris, his storerooms filled with grain. What brought about that wealth? Havi Omer, the answer is, Mepeshesh Echenes Amayim Rabim, it resides amongst the waters, the rivers, and the swamps. Amar Rav, in fact, Asira Bavel. Bavel is wealthy. The Chatzta B'lay Mitra. It harvests its tvua without much rain, because it's moist, humid, and swampy. Amar Abaye, now Ketina, in fact, we have an explanation from our Rebbeim. The reason is Tuvani, because it's a swampy place, below Yivshanu, and not dry. In fact, the Pasuk refers to Bavel as Shinar. And Rashi in Chumash says, Shenin Arusha Meisei Mabel. It's a low-lying area to which the Meisei Mabel, the ones who died at the Mabel, trickle down to. In fact, they say that the fossil fuels found in abundance in that area of the world was produced by the Meisei Mabel, which trickle down to those low-lying areas. Continues the Mishnah. When do we begin to ask for rain? Begimel b'mar cheshvan shayal nesak shamim. Rabbi Gamliel, I'm Rabbi Shiva boy. So who's the Tanakhama here? Rabbi Meir, who we already had on the Vava Meralov. He holds that the first point of the Yoyre, first point of rain, is Gimel cheshvan, followed by Zayin cheshvan. Third point being Yud Zayin cheshvan. Therefore he holds, Tanakhama, who's Rabbi Meir, holds that Gimel cheshvan, the starting point of the rain season. He meant to start asking for rain at that moment. Rav Gamliel Omer, b'shiva boy. First point of rain is 7 of Cheshvan. Start asking then. In fact, Hashem arranged it in a way which was convenient for the Oyler Regalim. Tesvav Yom Achar Achag. It falls out exactly 15 days after Sukkot. Kadesh Yagia Achron Shebi Yisrael Nahar Paras, to allow the last one of Yisrael to get back home to Nahar Paras and Bavel. So don't ask for rain until that point. Be a good host. Have your guests come back home safely and then start asking for rain. Amar Belazar, Halacha K'ram Gamliel. We follow Rav Gamliel's Zman, we start asking Zayin and Cheshvan. That's in Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Hanan Yoimer, Ubegoyla, outside of Eretz Yisrael, in Babel, and Rashi says the same applies to all other lands as well. We're not so desperate for rain like in Eretz Yisrael. We wait. Ad shishim b'tkufa, until day 60 in the new season. Speaking about Tkufas Tishrei, which starts September 21, we wait until 60 days later and we start asking for rain. So why is it that we start nowadays December 4th, December 5th? So there's a whole complicated explanation. And just in a nutshell, the halachic equinox is not September 21st, rather about 15 days later. And that pushes the Yoim She'elas Talamotar 15 days ahead. So instead of the 21st or something like that of November, which should be 60 days after the equinox, if the Tkufas Tishrei begins, we'll wait another 15 days. And just in a nutshell, it's because in the secular world, they reset the calendar every century. They take off a day because Tkufas Shmuel is what we follow, which means the world, the solar year, is split into four equal seasons, four tkufos, each one being 91 days, 7.5 hours. Problem is that that's based on the fact that we assume a solar year is 365 days and 6 hours long, but really it's missing 11 minutes. It's 365, 5 hours and 48 minutes. So what they do is, they discount for that discrepancy by pulling out a day once a century to make up for that lost time. So every 400 years, you have to make up three days. You pull out 3 days. But according to Chazal, Gemara, we don't do that. We follow Tkufas Shmuel absolutely the way he said it, that we ignore the fact that it seems like we're missing 11, like we're overdoing it. It's really 11 minutes less. Perhaps I'm explaining it's based on the fact that we're looking at the constellations, and indeed over there, indeed it is lined up properly. It's 11 minutes less than the sun's full orbit. In any case, in halacha, we treat the equinox as being as per Tkufas Shmuel, and we don't discount for these discrepancies. And since the secular calendar, they remove a day every century, we ignore that, and we just keep to it. So basically, for the last 2,000 years, they pulled out 15 days, right? One day every 3 days for every 400 years. So we have to make up for that, and therefore we push it ahead. The halachic equinox is considered about 15 days after the secular equinox, and therefore we treat the equinox as though it's happening 15 days after September 21st. And 60 days later, it's the beginning of December, and that's where we begin with the saying Talomater. Well, depending on which year, if it's a year with the extra day in February, that also influences things, and therefore sometimes it's the 4th, sometimes the 5th. In fact, in the 1800s, they start with saying Talomater December 3rd. Right? So every 100 years, because they pull out a year, we have to make up for that. If they pull out a day, we have to make up for that day. We push it ahead a day. Somebody made a calculation that in 44,000 years, Saint Talamata will be pushed off all the way into spring, and there won't be any more Saint Talamata. Okay, in any case, it's a complicated discussion. Just to try to present just a brief nutshell to give us just a basic understanding, why is it that we start December 4th or 5th, whereas in the Gemara it would seem it's meant to be 60 days after the Tkufa. So that's pretty much the approach here. And the concept is that we start later. In Bavel, in Chutz La'aretz, we're less desperate for rain, so we wait for the real rain season to arrive. Ubagoyla atshishim betkufa. Amar afhuna v'archiyam rashmol, halacha kichananya. In fact, this is the halacha. 60 days after the tkufa. Any is that so? V'bo minei mishmol. They asked Shmol, me'emas matkirinim Saint Talamater. Do you know when we start saying the Saint Talamater? Amar Lewis, he said, certainly. I'll give you a simon. When they stopped bringing the firewood in, Lebay to the home of Tavus, that was his name, this fellow's name was Tavus. Rishpa, he was a bird catcher. So he was this wood collector, firewood collector, and once they start gathering firewood, you know, rain season is beginning, it's starting to get moist, and you know it's time for the Saint Talamater. Nothing to do with 60 days. Answers the Gemara, no, it's the same shear. Dilma, perhaps, idi v'idi chatshiru. They're both the same measure, both the same shear. That's when they stop collecting firewood, 60 days into the tkuf. Iboilu, b'nei yeshiva asked the shayla. We speak about starting to ask 60 into the tkuf. Do you mean on day 60 or on day 61? Yoyim shishim. Day 60, kilifnei shishim, is treated like the days before it, which means you only start on day 61, or is day 60 considered like going forward? And you already start asking on day 60. Toshma, Rav Omar Yom Shishim, Kalach HaShishim. So day 60 is already considered winter, you start asking on day 60. Shmuel Omar, no. Yom Shishim, Kalifnei Shishim. Day 60 is treated like the previous days. You wait a day until day 61. Omar Nachman Bar Yitzchak V'Simonach, to remember who said what, I'll give you a simon. Eloi, Rav, who came from Eretz Yisrael, from the highlands, where they're more in need of rain, Bo'imaya, they need water. And therefore, he says, start a day earlier, on day 60. Tatoi loi Bo'imaya. Shmuel lived in Bavel. Low-lying areas, less desperate for water, as we explained. And in fact, he says, you start a day later. Amra Papa Hilchasa, the halacha follows, Shitas, Rav, Yom Shishim, Kalach HaShishim, day 60 is considered like the days after 60, which means you start on day 60. And that's what we do today in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so we have the She'elas Geshamim on Gimel Cheshvan. And as we explained, the first rain season, the Ryoire, consists of 3 points. Gimel Cheshvan, Zayin Cheshvan, and Yud Zayin B'mar Cheshvan, ideal zmanim for Geshamim. What if there are no rains? Higia Yud Zayin B'mar Cheshvan, V'lo Yordu Geshamim. You have 17th of Mar Cheshvan without rains. Now you know it's desperate. Hischilu Hayechidim Mis'anim. The individuals, Tamid Chachamim, who shoulder the burden of the klal, they start fasting. Gimel Taniyos. Fast three times. It's going to be Monday, Thursday, and Monday. Oichlin v'shoysin v'shachashecha. Of course, they can eat and drink at night. Fast only starts in the morning. U'mutarim b'malacha. Likewise, they do malacha during the fast day. It doesn't have the severity of a tanis, which is asr b'malacha. They're allowed to engage in malacha. U'berechitza, and rinsing. U'besicha, anointing, smearing. B'nesa sandal, wearing shoes. U'betash v'shamita, marital relations. Higir Rosh Chodesh Kislev l'yodu g'shamim. Suppose it's getting more desperate. Rosh Chodesh Kislev arrives, no rain in sight. Now everybody has to get involved. Bezdin Gozrin Sholish Tanis Ala Tzibur. Bezdin establishes a triple Tanis on the Tzibur. Oichlin b'sheisim b'shechashecha. Here as well, it's only a fast day. It can eat at night until the morning. Umurtarim b'malacha. They can engage in malacha. Ubrechitza and washing, ubesicha, ubinis asandal, ubetashan shamit. So Yud Zayin Marcheshon elicits the attention of the Yechidim who start fasting. Man Yechidim, who are these Yechidim? Omer Avuna, they are the Rabbonim, the Tamid Chachamim, who take responsibility for the dar. Vamar Yehuda, Yechidim is an shloisha tanyes. We speak about them fasting three times. How is it set up? Sheni, v'chamishi v'sheni. You start with a Monday, continue on the Thursday, and the next Monday as well. Maika Mashmon. What's Rav Huna trying to teach us? That it's meant to be set up Monday, Thursday, Monday? Tanina. We went to have a Mishnah. You start on a Monday. In Gezrin Tanis ala Tzibur b'tchila b'chamishi. You never make a Tanis Tzibur on a Thursday. You don't start on a Thursday. To avoid hiking the prices Thursday night, they're going to be doing a double shopping for the night meal after the Tanis and for Shabbos. It's going to create a frenzy. A price hike will result. So don't do that. Elo, Sholos Tanis, Hirishonis. The first three Tanis are as follows. Sheni v'chamisha v'sheni. Start Monday, Thursday, Monday. This way, the fast system has been established. By the time Thursday comes around, it won't create a frenzy. It won't create a hiking in prices. It's pretty clear. You meant to arrange fasts in this manner. Monday, and then Thursday, and then Monday. Why does Rav Huna have to tell us that the Yechidim fast Monday, Thursday, and Monday? Now, the Tema, perhaps I would think, this concern only applies when it's a public fasting. Don't start on a Thursday. This mad rush by the tzibur to the stores will create a price hike. Aval yochad loy, but if it's just individuals engaged in fasting, perhaps you can start on a Thursday. They're just a couple of people. They're not going to have the same effect on the market. Kamashwan, the chiddush says, no, we don't differentiate. Whether it's perhaps because even the yechidim can generate this result, or we don't want to make a chiluk between this type of fast day and this type of fast day. We just start on Monday. As a set formula. Tani nami hachi, the same in a braisa, kshishchilo yechid mus'anis. When the individuals begin fasting, mis'anin, how do they fast? Sheni, v'chamishi v'sheni, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Braisa continues, umafsikin brashi chadashim. Even if you established a fasting system, and Rosh Chodesh comes along and lands on one of those fast days, you stop, you take a break, you skip that day. Likewise, ubiyam tovim, Haksuvim Megillas Tanis, all those holidays which I mentioned, Megillas Tanis, if you encounter any of those Yomim Tovim, you don't fast on that day. Tana Rabbanan. Although the Mishnah speaks about Yechidim Mis'anin, the Gemara says, it's Rabbanan. What about a person who doesn't qualify as Rabbanan? Can he join the fast? Tana Rabbanan. Al Yemer Adam Talmudani. Look, I'm just a Talmud. Eini Roy Leis Yochid. I'm not Roy, to be considered a yochid, individual, outstanding individual, who should fast on these days. A person shouldn't say that, no. Elakol Talmid Chacham Yechidim. Well, Talmidim, whose students involved in learning Torah, they can consider themselves Yechidim and join the Tanis, just like the Rabbanon. It's not a display of haughtiness. You're participating in the Tzar of the Tzibur. Ezeo Yochid, Bezeo Talmid. We speak about a yachid having one title, a Talmud, a different status. What exactly How do we define these two levels of learning? Yachid kol shiroi l'mnoisei parnas al tzibur. Yachid represents this fellow who's suitable, who's fitting, deserving to be appointed a parnas, a leader, a poisik. He knows everything. He can answer every halacha that you ask him. He's roi to be a leader. Talmud doesn't have that level of learning. He's a fellow who is proficient in what he's learning. Even if it's just an easy masechta, masechta skala, which contains prices, relatively easy learning, well, if he's proficient in that learning, that he's engaged in at that point, he can answer on that, he's considered, he qualifies as a Talmud. And Talmud is somebody that, Rashi explains, can wear a chaluk of Talmudim, he can wear a clothing which is fitting a Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud. He's not a Yachid. He's not somebody deserving of being appointed as a Parnas. For that you need somebody who's more expert in Halacha. Nevertheless, we say that even a Talmud, when it comes to fasting, should participate. It's not Gava. You're just being Meshtatev and the Tzar of the Tzibur. Turn you can't just decide, I want to be a yachid. I want to join the fast. No, you need to be somebody on a level to join that rank. Likewise, Talmud. If somebody decides, I'm going to be a Talmud, I'm going to wear the rabbinic robe like a Talmud Chacham. You can't do that. Oisa, you can't do that. Divrei Rav Meir. You have to know your place. Rabbi Yosi Omer, look, it depends. You're trying to gain honor and covet falsely, undeservingly, don't do it. But in this case, where you're just trying to join the Yechidim who are fasting, that's fine. Oisa. You can conduct yourself as a Yachid when it comes to fasting. V'zachol ha'toiv. It's a schuz for him. He's not trying to honor himself. Participating in the Tzar. So when it comes to this particular event, Tzar, the Tanis that the Yechidim are going through, anybody can join. Tanidach, we have the same in the next brisa. Michael writes, "Alas, is atzma yachid oisa." Ordinary person doesn't have the ability, doesn't have the resources to present himself as a yachid or as a talmud oisa. You can't do that. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Lil Aimer depends. Medvar Marurim. When does that apply? Bedavar shal shvach, something which involves honor and covet. Know your place in the world. Avo b'davar shel tzar, he's just joining the tzar, the effort which the yechidim are involved in to bring about rain, to bring about tshuva. Go ahead, join their ranks. V'zachar l'toiv, he gets positive mention. She'ein shvach ulay, l'tzar ulay. It's not something honorable, it's not something which gives him hana. He's participating in the tzar. Nothing wrong with that. Tan rabban, mishay mes'ana l'tzar. Va'avra, person was experiencing distress. Tzora, he fasted. Davin, the tshuva fasted. Va'avra, Baruch Hashem, the Tzora passed. Midday, he's still in the middle of the fast day. What does he do now? Or he is fasting ala chayla to give schusim that a chayla should get better. And it's rapid. Lo and behold, midday the chayla gets better. Can he stop fasting? No. You don't make a deal with Hashem. You are genuine. You're involved in tshuva. Harezim misana mashlam. Continue. Complete the fast. Perhaps you can say, you can add that the fact that you committed to do that fast, that in itself brought about a schos. So of course you have to fulfill that commitment. Ha'hoylich mamokim she'ein misan. Mamokim she'ein misan. You have a traveler traveling from a place where they're not experiencing any special tsar. They're not fasting. And he arrives at a place where they're experiencing drought, they're fasting. What does he do now? Hareza misana iman. He has to join the fast. He has to be mishtatev with the community, even though he resides in another town. He's not really a local. Be mishtatev with the tzar of the tzibur. Or in the reverse, mimalkim shemisanim. He hails from a place where they're experiencing tzar. They have a drought, they have a tzar, and they're fasting right now. And he arrives lemalkim she'ein misanim, where they have no tanis taking place. What does he do? Harezim is anu mashlam. This case as well. He has to fast, a complete fast day, like his hometown. And Tosafot has a chiddush. He says, even is this fellow does not intend to return to his former hometown. Still, he has to fast like his community back home because he was Mekabel Tanis. They already established a system of fasting. Sheini v'chamisha v'sheni, he was part of that commitment. He has to keep to it. What happens if shochach v'ochal v'shasa? Mid-fast, he forgot that it's a fast day. He ate and drank. Al Yisroel b'fnei atzibur. Number one, he shouldn't present himself in public. I just had a nice meal. He shouldn't advertise. He shouldn't look full in public. He should keep to himself in private so others don't notice that he had a meal. V'al-yanig idunim ba'atzma. Likewise, he shouldn't add to his pleasure. He shouldn't eat more. Once he ate, don't think, it's all mutter. No. He made a mistake. Stop right there. Shenemar, as we find in the pasuk. Don't call attention to yourself. V'yoymer Yaakov levonov. Lomot Yisroel. Yaakov turns to his sons, to the Shvatim. Why should you present yourself? What does that mean? Amrlem Yaakov levonov. I know you have enough grain to last you for a while. You don't need to go to Mitzrayim, as opposed to all the goyim around us who are out of food. Still, al taru atzmechem. Don't present yourself kshatem svein, as though you're full and you have what you need. Lo b'fnei Esav, not in front of Esav, who might become envious of you. V'lo b'fnei Yishmael, kedei shlo yiskano b'chem. I don't want to arouse a kinner and jealousy. Let's go over to Rashi. Off to the left. Al taru atzmechem, sheish lachem chitim harbi. I know you have lots of grain, but don't show off. V'loi hochu el b'shu davar zeh. Says Rashi, you know why they went to Mitzrayim? They had enough food. It was for this reason. Sh'loi les arois b'fnei b'nei Esav. Sh'o yutzurim v'reivim. The b'nei Esav and the b'nei Yishmael were distressed and hungry. So although the Shvatim had plenty, they picked themselves up. They went to Mitzrayim not to call attention to themselves and arouse jealousy and anger. So likewise, a person in a public setting should be careful. Keep a low profile. Tone down. Don't show that you're different, which might arouse jealousy, ayin hara, and machlokes. Now the pasuk continues there. Al tirguzu badarach. He was giving them instructions. He traveled to Mitzrayim. Al tirguzu. We have several pshatim. Omer belozer. One pshat is, Omer lehem yesev le'echav. Sorry, they're on the way back. Back up to Eretz Canaan. Yosef, a tzaddik, tells his brothers, Al tirguzu badarach. Omer lehem yesev le'echav. He tells his brothers, Altis ask with dvar halacha. Don't get involved in the dvar halacha as you're traveling. Shema tirguzu alechem adech. Perhaps you'll get off track. You lose your way due to your preoccupation with learning. Eini, is that a true factor? You're not meant to learn on the road. Vamer b'loy ba'brecha. Just the opposite. Shnei talmid chachamim shema halchem b'derech. You have two talmid chachamim traveling on the road. Ve'ein b'nein divrei Torah. And they're not discussing words of Torah. Ru'uyin l'saref. The deserving of being burnt. Shenemar v'ayim ha'olchem. This was Eliyahu Novi with Elisha. They were traveling, they were walking. Ho'olch v'daber. And they were speaking Torah. Hine. And behold, what do they see? Rechav eish. A fiery chariot. V'susi eish. Fiery horses. V'yafridu me'ishneim. Which separated between them. Eliyahu went to Shammai. Now what's the point of fire? Tama the Ikadibur. The fire was there to check them out. And they were saved because they were speaking Torah. Hala Kadibur. Otherwise, Ru'uyan the Saref. The Ramaz in the Pasuk here is fire was there to consume them. If had they not have been speaking Torah, they would have been consumed by fire. So we learned that it's so important to speak to your Torah even when you're traveling. So why did Yosef say, don't do that? Atirguzu Baderach? Lekashi, the answer is, what type of learning? Hala Migrus. Girsa means just bekias. Relatively superficial learning, which doesn't involve intense concentration. That, sure. Do it on the road. Stick the CD into the car, the MP3 player. Listen to Shiur. Lamigras. Holy uni, but if it's something that involves intense concentrations and eon, that might throw them off the path. Might lose their way. They don't do that when you're traveling. Masisa Tana. In the Brayse, we learned a different pshat in Atir Gezuba Derech. Be careful how you travel. Al tafsiu psiu gasa. Number one, don't take extra large strides. Number two, v'achnisu chamalir. Enter the city when it's chama, when the sun is still shining, when it's light and pleasant. Why? Al tafsiu psiu gasa. Don't take large strides. Damar mar, it can weaken a person. Psiu gasa, they tell us, echad mechamish meyais. One strides, large strides, it can diminish his eyesight, remove one part of 500. A person's eyesight, every step can diminish, can take away a 500th of what's remaining. So be careful, walk pleasantly, don't weaken yourself as you travel. Altirgazu. Number two, altirgazu mean don't travel at night when you're not up to it. It's not a pleasant travel. Can bring about all types of mishaps. V'achnisu chamalir, and go into the city when it's still light, when it's still shining. Rav Yudah Marav. Lo'olam yetzu adam b'chitayv. Person should always leave town b'chitayv when it's light. Pasuk says v'yaro l'kim asa'ur chitayv. Leave during daytime. You can see where you're going. V'yikonas b'chitayv. Leave yourself enough time so that you enter the next town when it's still light. Shenemar was defined by the Shvatim. As soon as morning arrived, daylight arrived, the man was sent away for a pleasant trip. Let's go over to Rashi, about 3-4 lines up. Wait until morning to embark on your journey. Likewise, enter the town when it's delight. There are many considerations here, many benefits. Number one, shein the stimitzuim. You're not going to bump into robbers. Inami another pshat shalayipol beres abakayim shabir. He doesn't fall into any pits, any potholes. He sees where he's going. Number three, v'shalay alilu lo alilois. That the FBI doesn't suspect him of being a spy, meragla to a ganav, or perhaps the police might arrest him for being a ganav. Travel during daytime. It's safe. It's secure. It's comfortable. Continues the Gemara. Amar Vida Marav. Amar Chia. Hamalach Baderech. Once traveling on the road, Al Yoichal Yoise Mishnei Ravim. He should be easy on his food. He shouldn't eat more than a person generally eats during a famine. We're going to see Tamar Bez Hashem that during a famine, a person is meant to tone down his intake, to participate with the Tzar of the Rav. So when you travel, be easy on the food. My timer. Why? Two reasons. Hachatar gimu. In Babel they explain, Mishama yana, because of the intestinal system of a person, which can perhaps be overloaded. While traveling, the Rambam speaks about not exerting oneself when he's eating. So eating is meant to be a relaxed, pleasant experience. When he's traveling, it's not conducive to proper eating. Therefore, be easy on the system. Don't overload it. That's the pshat that they gave in Babel. Marava Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they explain Mishum is Zoini, for concern of perhaps running out of the supply, not having enough food to eat on the road, therefore ration it in a responsible way. Might be not there's any difference between two reasons. It could be now there is a difference. The Yosef Ba'arba, he's traveling by sitting in a ship. There's not much exertion there. There's no concern of taxing the system, but be careful not to overuse the supplies, which might become depleted. Inami, another pshat would be, the Ka'azl Ma'avna La'avna. This fellow is traveling from one rest stop to the other. He knows he'll find food, so that's not a concern. But regarding the concern of his internal, regarding his internal system, that concern still applies. He should be careful. Rav Papa, he used to do as follows. Rashi explains Rav Papa was a large person, and his system can tolerate eating large amounts even on the road. Called parso, parso, every parcel that he traveled, he had one loaf of bread, he wasn't concerned with overeating on the road. Why? Because he learned that the concern is only because of mayana, the digestive system, therefore he had no concern regarding that. And he did not ration his food, he had one loaf every parcel. Okay, what did we learn today? The contrast between Eretz Yisrael and Shaar HaRatzos. Eretz Yisrael is created first. Eretz Yisrael gets direct watering from Hashem, first water, and the Ikar Megis Shamim. We learned about the fact that She'elas Talamata begins Gimel Cheshvan, that's in Eretz Yisrael. According to the Gamaliel, 7 of Cheshvan to allow everybody to get back home safely. Outside Eretz Yisrael, we start day 60 of the Tkufa. The Gemara concluded, we start on day 60. We have the 3 points of the Yair, Gimel Cheshvan, Zayin Cheshvan, Yitzayin Cheshvan. At that point, there's no rain. The Yichidim start their fast system. The Gemara tells us, according to some Shitas, anybody can join their ranks. It's not an expression of Gava. Actually, the other way around, you're participating, you start with the Tzibur. What if there's no rain until Rosh Chodesh Kislev? Now it starts getting more serious. The Tzibur gets involved in the fasting system. Then a person started fasting. The circumstances improved. The Yichayla got better. The Tzara disappeared. He finished fasting until the end of the day. The person mistakenly ate. Stop right there. Don't add. Yaakov Avinu tells his sons, don't show off in front of the Goyim. Go down to Mitzrayim like everybody else. Don't arouse Kina. Yosef HaTzadik tells his brothers, Al Tirguzu Baderech. We have 3 pshatim. Don't be ma'ayin and learning on the road. Don't take large strides, which might weaken you. And leave town and enter the next town during daylight. A person traveling should take it easy on his food, either because of the mayana, his internal system might not tolerate overtaxation, or be responsible to ration your food appropriately so you don't run out of food. Hatzlacha Rava to you, and all the best.